Right now on VFN TV, we're continuing my interview with Charles Simpson, the leader, one of the leaders in the charismatic renewal movement, speaking specifically first about Hong Kong and the liberation movement that's taking place. Also about there's only two sides. When people are talking about all these multiple sides, the truth is there's only two sides. And when we're talking about forgiveness, it's not an option, it's an expectation. It's the only way you can move forward. Also how God uses brokenness. Did you know that? When you're broken, you're at your best opportunity to be used by God. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This has been an amazing time talking about the Charismatic Renewal Movement with Charles Simpson, one of the leaders in that particular movement. Today, we're going to continue with the interview talking about the Hong Kong, the pro-liberty movement. Also, we're going to be talking about that there's only two sides. When people start talking about 10 sides, there's only two. You know, we'll talk about that. Forgiveness, how it's not an option, it's a God expectation. And how brokenness. Did you know that when you're broken, that God can use you at your greatest amount of use? You know, I was going to write a book when I first got saved, and it says, you know, something has got to be broken. Little did I know that it had to be me, right? God uses a broken and contrite heart. And sometimes that's what it takes, just a brokenness, staying in that state. It's going to encourage you. You're going to be excited. Let's join the interview now.
Well, seasons have limits, and we've come to the end of a season.
Okay.
The Bible says he sets the boundaries of times and seasons and of their habitation. Mm-hmm. And so we've come to the end of an age, and we're in the transition between ages, the overlap of yesterday and tomorrow, and we don't know what the future's going to be. A lot of people have ideas, I suppose, but to me, the future is somewhat of a mystery.
Yeah.
Because there's never been anything like this.
Yeah.
And ages start and end quicker than they ever did. Mm. You had the Gutenberg press, and you had the 95 theses that Luther posted on the wall, on the door. And then next thing you know, another season has begun, and then another season, and they seem to speed up.
Very fast.
And after World War II, the next era didn't last very long, and then came whatever you want to use to define it, but 9/11 certainly was in the turn of the century, and now we're talking about AI and all that.
And industry is larger than countries, so the new kings of the world are the kings of industry,
right?
Because they literally have more computing power, more financial power, global power. They can flip, they flipped Egypt.
They can buy elections.
They can buy elections, and they know they can. They know they can do it, which means then that's a country. That's not a...
They're buying the country.
Yes, they're buying the country. And so we're in that moment now where we need to be the church more than we've ever needed to be the church, because that will be the light in this dark world, you know, being the hope. But I'm watching, too, people's perspective of money. Because more money, more opportunity, you can reach more people, you can market more of your widgets. You know, China's in my market. And you got to say, but if you cross that global line and you do business there, are you going to accept their gods there? Are you going to stay as a Christian? Are you going to stay? I'm seeing that, and I'm also seeing people just get drunk on the money and the prosperity, and they're thinking, they're just not thinking at all anymore. They're just choosing money.
Hong Kong is a demonstration of what happens when control goes beyond moral basis. And what you're having in Hong Kong is not only a pro-liberty movement, you're having a lot of Christian activity and a lot of desire for freedom of thought and freedom of worship and all of that, and people willing to die for it.
Which is an assault on China's government. They would just, that's the worst thing that ever happened to China's government, right?
Well, they're in a conflict because, you see, Hong Kong has been a tremendous economic benefit to China.
Yeah.
And then China took it over and promised to leave it free economically.
50 years, was it?
And politically. And now they're starting to try to absorb it into their style, mm-hmm. and it's not absorbing.
Yeah.
But they're afraid if they accommodate Hong Kong, they're going to have problems on the mainland because they already had
right.
that in the past.
Right.
And so it's I pray for that situation yeah. daily because I think it's typical. And China's way out there when it comes to technology. They yes. are sharp.
Yeah, they're Orwell 1984. They're watching everything.
Oh, they're smart people.
And I believe Google was somehow with the Butterfly Project where they're helping them somehow, even though it's weird. The people that are criticizing us about how we're treating people are going to other countries, like the NBA going to a country that oppresses the people to make money off of those people while telling us that we're not having enough freedoms in our own country. It doesn't make sense. It's money. People are choosing money over people.
It's kind of like they're choosing sides too. There are people that are for a secular solution rather than a spiritual solution.
Right.
And you could make two columns on a sheet, and if they go for this, they're probably going to go for the rest of it. It's the sides are becoming clearer.
Yeah.
So.
Which is a good thing, really, right?
Yeah.
Choose the day who you're going to serve.
What the scripture said would happen.
Right. Right.
That rich, the wicked would do more wickedly, the righteous would do more righteous, and I think that's happening. And I think it has to happen so people can see what the difference is
mm-hmm.
and make their own choices.
Well, many people who profess to be Christians can find themselves in between those two choices, and you have to decide. There's no such thing as a middle road. There's a narrow road and there's a wide road.
There's
right?
only two.
Hot and there's cold.
Yeah.
Hey, we're sorry we had to interrupt this interview. We're going to come right back where we left off after this break. Be sure to comment below. We want to hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
When a story is told time after time, literally for centuries, it can get a bit distorted. The facts, as presented, not quite as accurate as they could be. So let's see how you do in catching the myths of Christmas.
What do you think? Did Mary ride a donkey to Bethlehem?
Well, the Bible does say Mary was with Joseph. No mention of a donkey.
And what about an innkeeper declaring there was no room in the inn?
Sorry, buddy.
There is no mention in the Bible of an innkeeper.
Here's another. Were there three kings on camels at Jesus' birth?
Maybe. Matthew's gospel mentions the Magi, but does not mention the number or how they got there.
The fact is, there is much that the Bible does say about the birth of Jesus in the gospels of Matthew and Luke. Read it for yourself.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Everybody yes. will love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I mean, when you love the Word of God, I mean, it's exciting in your abiding time. By the way, beginning to abide now, learning how to abide with God is so important because he says, apart from abiding in me, Jesus said, you can't even do any of this. And we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You know, most people want to abide. They want to spend that time with God, but they need a plan. We have a free plan for you. It's at iabide.org. You just fill out that little simple request thing. It comes right to you in your email, and it's a great step-by-step.
It's beautiful.
How you can begin to abide with him. Listen, you want to begin to hang out with the king since his kingdom is manifesting.
Right.
It's going to be the greatest thing he's ever done in the face of the earth. It's about to happen. You want to know the king.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
No, I spoke to somebody that I love not long ago. We have a difference of opinion. And they're very critical of things that I support. And I said, you know, what you don't realize is there's just two sides.
Yeah.
There's not three or four or five. We'd like there to be shades of different side, but there's not really. When you look at the agendas, there's only two sides.
It's true.
And we're being forced to make choices we don't necessarily want to make.
Right.
But there's only two sides.
I'm finding that when people just boldly choose their side, people are waiting for those people to do that, and they could be, I guess you call them leaders or people that God, influencers that make those decisions, and then many people go, "That's a good decision. I've been wanting to make that decision. It was so confusing to me." Like Kanye West, when you're seeing him make this decision, you know, I mean, he's in the beginning stages, and you know, whatever, but he's saying very clearly, you know, Jesus is the only way. This is where I'm going to go.
He's come out on the side.
Right.
And, yeah, it's when you choose your side, you also have chosen your opposition.
That's so good.
And it's unfortunate because we don't think about it. We think I'm making the right choice here.
Everybody's going to celebrate it.
Yeah, and some people will.
Come home, honey. I made a choice. What? You made a choice.
Well, there are a lot of people that will say, well, now it's time for me to take you down because I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
And that's happening.
For the very fact that they feel that that's a responsibility proves the very thing that's driving them is not the proper thing. I mean, why in the world?
Right, it is. I mean, there's no love in that at all.
Right.
The problem, the thing that grieves me is that it's so often Christians doing it to Christians.
Hello, yes.
Whatever happened to the verse that says, if you have aught against your brother, go to him. And that verse might as well be eliminated in the Bible.
Jesus said this. Jesus is talking about it. He says, it's so important how we relate to each other that he says, your relationship with me, Jesus, is going to be influenced by your relationship with them. So before you give me something, go to him or her and try to work it out. If you don't even love him, you don't even love me. How can you love me who you can't see? You can't even love him. You know, it's like we're really confronted in that reality. That this isolated, I got my own personal relationship with God, and I hate you guys, and you're all wrong, or I'm offended. I mean, he says, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. You know?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. And then he broke it down by going, you know, Peter says, how many times? And 7 times 70. But then he goes right into, to summarize, he says, not only that, if you don't forgive, forgiveness is so important for you, that the Father God, is going to put you under a tormentor who's going to torment you. He's not going to do it, but he's going to put you under a tormentor to get you at the point where you finally go, okay, I'll forgive and I'll forgive in my heart. I mean, Jesus broke it down and said, there's something so important that we need to forgive each other that he's saying, because if it's just all, you say a prayer and everything's good, it's fine. He's not going to, if you're saved and everything's great, he's not going to allow you to go through this pressurized situation where you finally deal with unforgiveness in your heart. It's very important to get the unforgiveness out of your heart. He's saying it's very important. If I've freely forgiven you, you have to freely forgive. And I think about John G. Lake when he was ministering and his wife had the spirit of discernment and she would pray for the person first, and some people had to just forgive. When they forgave, they got healed. When some people halfway forgave, people got halfway healed. When people wouldn't forgive, even though John G. Lake prayed for them, they wouldn't be healed. I mean, forgiveness is what we're supposed to be known for, right? We're forgiven and we forgive.
That's right.
Because you're talking about fighting, that why do Christians, you know, And it's like, is it because we just don't forgive? It's because we don't allow. you said that we don't allow rooms. You said we don't allow rooms for mistakes. You know, we don't give
room.
You
can't. Everybody conforms, because if you stick your head up, somebody's going to knock it off.
Yes.
I mean, so you get the conforming culture, and that's true in the secular culture. It's true in the spiritual culture.
Right.
That nobody wants to stand out.
Right.
And nobody wants to take a stand. And that I pointed out in a recent letter that Peter was sitting when he denied Jesus.
Mm.
He wasn't standing.
Mm.
And a lot of people are denying Christ in their posture. They're sitting.
Mm.
And they need to take a stand. He stood at Pentecost, and God used him. So I think it's easier to conform, and whether we're talking about getting a chip or whether we're talking about just being passive.
Or joining the crowd.
I think God loves courage.
Yeah.
And I think I want to be careful. I'm being recorded.
Yeah. This is just between me and you.
Well, okay. I think God would rather deal with a sinner that has courage than a Christian that's got none.
Mm.
And God can use the sinner. He can actually change him.
Yes.
But passivity is absolutely useless.
It is.
And it's a sin in the face of crisis.
I believe it is.
And to watch something happen that you could intervene in and not intervene is criminal.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem. And when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, you know, he said, "Forgive us as we forgive those that trespass against us." And it says, "Lead us not into temptation." Now, that's interesting that follows the forgiveness issue.
Mm.
"And deliver us from the evil one." And so I think a lot of people are being tempted because they're unforgiving.
Mm.
I think a lot of people are in the bounds of Lucifer because they haven't forgiven.
Yeah.
And I think it's right there in the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, and the root of bitterness begins to grow. You know, he talks about it in Hebrews that if you don't, and then defile many.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate to interrupt right in the middle of this interview, but we're going to pick right back up where we left off after this break. Don't forget to comment below. We love hearing from you. See you after the break.
We'll be right back.
Who is Jesus Christ? In Genesis 3:15, where it said that humanity seemed destroyed because of the curse of sin, and it seemed like there was no hope for humanity, God said to the devil, he said, "There's going to come a seed from woman, and you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head." Speaking of Jesus Christ, I read about him in Genesis 49:10. It says that the scepter would not depart from Judah until Shiloh was come. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the psalmist said this in Psalm 61:2. He said, "For those of you who feel like you're in despair and there's nowhere for you to go and you wonder where God is," the psalmist said in Psalm 61:2, he said, "There is a rock that is higher than I am." I read about him in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." I read about him in Isaiah 10 and 11. It says, "He's a place where you can rest." I read about him in Isaiah 28:16. It says that he's a sure foundation. I read about him in Isaiah 53. He's a suffering, righteous servant who gave himself for you and for me. Song of Solomon 2:1 declares that he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of your valley. I read about him in Song of Solomon chapter 5. He's the altogether lovely one. I read about him in Zechariah 13:1. It says, "In that day, a fountain shall be opened to the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness." Malachi 4:2 said of Jesus that in that day, the sun would rise with healing in his wings. And hallelujah. In Hosea 2:15, he's a door of hope in the valley of your trouble. Matthew 2:6 declares that he's the governor over God's people. Mark 1:24, he's the Holy One of God. Luke 1:69, he's the horn of my salvation. Luke 1:78, he's the day spring from on high. In John 1:1, he's the Word of God. In John 1:14, he's the Word that was made flesh. In John 1:34, he said, "Before Abraham was, before you ever
from work. He said, I am. Hallelujah. In John 1:34, he's the Son of God. In John 1:41, he is the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. In John 1:29, he is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. In John 6:35, he's the bread of life. In John 8:12, he's the light of the world. In John 8:58, he said that before Abraham was, before you ever were, he said, I am. Hallelujah. In John 10:14, he's the good shepherd. In John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. In John 15:5, he's a living vine. In Acts 3:15, he's the Prince of Life. In Acts 10:36, he's the Lord of all. In Revelation 1:8, he is Alpha, he is Omega, he is the beginning and the end. He which is, which was, and which is to come. Revelation 1:17-18, John said, when I saw his face, I fell at his feet as dead. But he said unto me, don't be afraid, for behold, I'm the first and I'm the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and of hell. In Revelation 5:5, he said, I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and I am the Root of David. In Revelation 19:16, he's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords. In Revelation 22:20, he is our soon coming King. He was Jacob's ladder, he was Elijah's mantle, he was the fire that fell on Mount Carmel. He's a stream in the desert, he's a rock in a weary land. And that's the truth this morning. Hallelujah.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, we're forgiven. That's the good news of the gospel, right? We're sinners. We're a basket case. We're lost. We're dying. We're going to hell. Then all of a sudden we find Jesus, what he did for us, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for our sins, not his sins, our sins, and that he was raised again on the third day. And if we accept him as the Lord of our life, we're forgiven.
Right.
How could we hold unforgiveness towards someone else if we've been forgiven?
Well, Jesus gave a parable or two about that.
Couple.
So, yeah.
Couple.
No, I agree. And I think discipling should include teaching people how to forgive.
Yeah.
And the reason we don't forgive is because we're still very much alive mm-hmm. in our flesh. Mm-hmm. And we've been wounded somehow. Or perceived that we have, whereas if we're dead, I was saying to the Lord one time, Lord, I hurt.
Mm.
And he said to me, what hurts isn't dead yet. And it was a rebuke
mm-hmm.
to get out of my self-pity.
Right.
And stop perceiving somebody as my enemy.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
I realized I wasn't dead yet.
Right. Dead people don't move or respond, do they?
They don't hurt. Dead people don't hurt.
You know, and I wanted to say this, that I don't know if I talked to you about this, but I was talking to a medical office. I was going in for a medical procedure, and they get that whole rundown list, what kind of medicines you're on, this type of thing. And I was talking to her. I talked to you about this before. I talked to you about it. But about having, you know, that, you know, life, you're going to go through brokenness. You're going to have broken moments. Your heart, I mean, God doesn't see you in a bad light because your heart is broken. As a matter of fact, he uses a broken and contrite heart.
Absolutely.
It was the hard-hearted moments, and it's the moments that we were not pliable in his hand. So it seems like when everything's falling apart, you could be at your best opportunity to be used by God. It's the moment to actually, I mean, you're really going to trust God to move because you know you can't do anything at that particular moment, you know?
That's the people that seek the Lord.
Yes.
And know they've been saved. God puts you in a place where you have to know that what comes in salvation is not your doing.
Right.
It has to come to the impossible moment sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seen a couple of those.
Yeah. It's just joining the church doesn't teach you that.
Nope.
You don't know for sure you need saving. And when I first joined the church, I wasn't saved. And I demonstrated later that I wasn't. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it was just the right thing to do. It would have taken more faith not to join the church, really, because everybody in the community knew you should be in church.
Yeah.
And then everybody in the community knew that it didn't save me.
Right.
Yeah. But when I got saved, I knew I needed saving.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's been a cultural thing in the West to be part of the church. And we've learned how to do it. But we need to meet God.
There's one statement that you said, and you said the biggest question for the West is the answer to the question, what is the church? Isn't that right? What is the church?
Well, I think that's the big question that churches face, and certainly Christians face, and perhaps the culture is facing. I don't know. I think the culture now more and more ignores the church, whatever it is, mm-hmm. until the church finds out what the church is.
Wow. That's powerful. Well, I hate to break in this interview, but listen, we want to hear your thoughts. Comment below. What are your thoughts about what's going on? And guess what? The final part of the interview hasn't stopped yet. Is our next program tomorrow. Make sure you catch it. We'll be talking about how God will use you if you hold on through the storm. Sometimes we just let go in the storm because it's so bad. Just hold on. You don't have to make sense. It never was because of your thinking. It's because of your faith in God. God's bringing you through the storm. Also about how making Jesus the Lord of your life, how important that is and what that really means. And finally, the climactical part of this interview with Charles Simpson, one of the leaders in the Charismatic Renewal Movement, was, what are some of the things that you learned? Listen, these are some big wisdom nuggets. Be sure you catch us on our program tomorrow. I want to pray with you. Father God, I pray a blessing over our audience, God. Inspire them to be a part of what you're about to do next, God. Help us learn from what happened in the past and know that you're going to do it again, even with a greater measure, Father God. I pray a blessing over them in Jesus' name. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at VFNKB.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.